where the night is through, I'll be talking love to you, meaning every word I say.
Was the last time I felt like this, I was falling in love, falling and feeling I'd never fall in love again. Yes, the
listen to Black Book Talk at KBOO FM every first Thursday from 11:30 till noon. Co-hosts OB Hill, Patricia Welch, and Emma Jackson Ford discuss African American authors and books. That's Black Book Talk every first Thursday from 11:30 till noon on KBOO FM.
Support for The Dirtbag comes from cable listeners and from One Green World, a family-owned nursery and garden center located in southeast Portland, providing fruiting trees and shrubs, berries, vines, unique citrus, nut trees, vegetables, and much more to people all over the United States. Information at www.onegreenworld.com.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 11:02 a.m. Next up is The Dirtbag.
We never get to hear that language or those verses. It's alarming how charming it is to be a farming. Not on a day like today, but
yeah,
this is a good indoor day.
A little chilly out in the liberal nook this morning. 16 degrees, Glenn.
Oh, my goodness. I think we're down to 25.
Yeah, Portland's banana belt.
Yeah.
But
well, yeah. That's Jim Gilbert you're hearing there to my right.
Nice to be here at Glenn, and here in sunny Portland.
Yes. I'm Glenn Andreessen. This is The Dirtbag, a garden variety show, mostly dealing with gardening of edible plants, but we touch everything, as we will find out from our program today.
One thing I was thinking about, Glenn, on the way in was I'd like to emphasize to listeners that it would be great to hear from them. And if we, you know, tell them our website and especially some of the things I'd like to hear what people grow. You know, we've never really asked folks, you know, just to write us and tell us, you know, what kind of things do you grow? What's your success? How does it work for you?
You know, yeah.
I mean, in particular, I was thinking about citrus because I brought some, and we'll talk about that later, but we actually grow a lot of citrus out at our nursery, and it's really pretty wonderful to have fruit in the middle of the winter.
Well, yes, it is.
You know,
I was just telling Jim before we went on the air, I'm reading a book called Frostbite. It's kind of the history of chilling food, figuring that out and how it started, and you know, plenty of ice, but then, you know, how it became mechanized and how it became transportable, and taking first of all ice in ships to South America, and trucking, and just the people that did it.
Well,
pretty interesting.
That's fascinating. It reminds me of when I was young and hanging out at the railroad tracks, and the train cars, the freight cars with ice that they bring the citrus up from California in.
And they hadn't. It wasn't mechanized by then.
The trucking hadn't developed apparently to the level it is now.
Oh no! It was about the '60s when, yeah. I mean, that started better. I mean, so it was more widespread.
Refrigerated trucks and stuff, but but earlier it was train cars.
I don't want to get bogged down on this, but one of the earliest, the prototypes of chilled trucking, they weighed, I can't remember now, you know, it was like 9,000 pounds or something like that, this one guy invented. Maybe it wasn't quite that much, but it was tons. And it was in the back of the truck, and it kept getting muddy and, you know, things like that. So, you know, they had to make changes. You know, the next one was like 900 pounds. That was much better, and into the front of the truck. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
yes.
Well, if people listeners wanted to let us know what they're growing, or if they have a question on gardening, we would welcome that. 503-231-8187. If you would like to have a question answered later, because we don't get the emails here, we're not set up for that, to ask your questions, you can email us at thedirtbag@kboo.org. And that is also, well, not the dirtbag, but kboo.org is the place to go to make a contribution or to become a member. We are in the midst of our very lightly membership drive, and we appreciate all sizes of donations.
I think we're always in the midst of our membership drive.
It is,
aren't we? Yes.
It's just the nature of the beast.
Well, given what's going on in the world these days, it's more important than ever to support community radio.
Indeed. Okay. Well, we've got a couple of announcements here that I'll get to after I run down our show. We're going to try to define a little bit more what disease resistance means when we're referring to plants. Also, most plants are still dormant now, so it's fine to do dormant pruning now. But some plants can be pruned in the summer, and this is what I typically do on the ones that can be. We'll talk about that a little bit there. At half past the hour, we've got a somewhat garden-related garden stumper. And after that, we have a Let's see, I lost my place here. Oh, we will try to define local as it pertains to seeds and plants. And then we'll also talk about how best to plant bare root and any plant, for that matter. And we will get to our Dirtbag Dictionary term this time. It's the same as last month because we didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Chilling hours.
And plant of the month.
And the plant of the month. We will have that right off the bat here, too. And then, of course, if there always is a documentary update.
Yep.
And we'll just get this out of the way right now. What I'm trying to understand this month, and this, you know, I'm not sure I'm not going to get feedback from this, but what I don't understand is why we don't have fees on studded tires.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do demonstrably, I can't remember, 15 to $20 million worth of damage on our roads every year. And it seems like there's a definite cause and effect there. And I'm not going to get into the why withals of, well, some people live in colder places and they need it. Well, great. You need studs and you need good roads.
A few years ago, a friend of mine actually tried to get the legislature to pass a bill. Yeah. I think he might have even tried to get it on the ballot. But it was pretty lonely effort.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to go anywhere either.
Yeah.
Greater chance of getting a sales tax before that. Okay. Well, we've got a couple of gardening announcements, both to the west of town. And please remember, if you have a gardening event that you'd like us to mention, we'd be happy to do that. You can always email us at thedirtbag@kboo.org. That would be the best way, so we have printed information to pass along. The first, I'll just remind our listeners that there's a seed swap sponsored by the Dairy Creek Community Food Web, and that will be on the 22nd of Feb from 10 to 3 at the St. Bede Church, B-E-D-E. Hmm. And let's see, everyone is welcome. Please label seeds with species, variety, date of harvest, and hybrid or not. If you do not have seeds, save some from your harvest and bring them next time. Apparently, this means that if you don't have seeds, you can't go. In any event, there will also be a giveaway table, garden tool sharpening, and gardening information. More information can be found at dairycreekcommunityfoodweb.org, or you can even email dccfoodweb@gmail.com. All right?
My sense is they're inviting everybody.
I would think so, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, people, it sounds like a great event.
Because, you know, if you're bringing seeds, there's a lot of seeds that you can save. So, good deal for that.
Yeah, my partner Lorraine right now is pursuing some Gill Brothers seeds from a long time ago, some beans that the huge kind of lima beans that are pretty amazing, and I'm personally more in the fruit side of things, but she's really into this seed exploration.
Sure.
Yeah. Adapted.
And our second event is sponsored by the Tualatin Valley Garden Club. It's their annual pruning demo, and that is this Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon, rain or shine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say snow or shine, but it says rain or shine. And that's probably what's going to happen, rain, but it might be a little cool there. Learn correct pruning for caneberries, fruit trees, ornamental shrubs, ornamental trees, and roses. The demonstrations by experienced volunteers and professionals. You can also learn about tool care and sharpening. If you have hand tools to be sharpened, you can bring two per attendee for the cost of $5 per tool. No shovels, axes, or chainsaws. ask questions, and you can practice. No sign-up necessary. That is the annual pruning demo, Saturday, February 15th in Hillsboro. It's at, I'll just give you this address here, 3850 Southwest Minter Bridge Road in Hillsboro.
Sounds like a very useful get-together.
Indeed. Yep. I think you could probably get this information also by going to the Tualatin Valley Garden Club or searching for that. But we don't have that.
Yeah, that's great.
Address here.
That's great.
Okay. Speaking of tools sharpened, if you come up with, if you're the first person to come up and call in with the correct answer to the garden stumper at half past the hour, you win a free tool sharpening from Coley Farm Store, the corner of Northeast 42nd and Alberta Street. Pruners, loppers, shears, shovels, hose. Okay. Yeah. Well, we didn't get to our plan. Did we not get to our plan of the month? That just seems crazy that we just skipped right over that, but that's what we do here. Plan of the month was kumquat, but at least by allowing an extra month now, you've expanded that to just include citrus. So
yes, and my thought was, well, first I'll kumquat. I love kumquats, and I wanted to talk about kumquats, and I will. But my grandkids were visiting this weekend, and they ate all the kumquats.
How many did they eat?
Oh, I don't know, a couple dozen.
Wow.
And they love them. And I think of talk about citrus in general as I now call it winter fruit, because typically, you know, citrus does not grow outdoors in Oregon year round. I mean, you can't plant it in your garden typically and have it survive our winters. But it's a pretty tough plant in general, and it's quite easy to grow in a container. So,
can you say this on the air? Yeah. Up a John.
Just keep going, Jim.
So what typically people do here in Oregon is to plant their citrus in a pot and put it outside in the spring, summer, and fall, and then bring it inside in the winter into a relatively sunny location. It could be by some patio doors or someplace where it gets plenty of light. You can also have artificial light to keep it happy. But the plant indoors will stay, it will slow down its growing unless you have a super hot house. But normally the plant will basically go into more of a dormant stage during the winter, but the fruit will ripen in mid to late winter on most citrus. And there you have a wonderful little feast ahead for you, waiting for you. So kumquats are unique because they have a sweet skin and a tart flesh.
Yeah.
And typically most citrus are reversed. They have tart skin and sweet flesh. And there's a kumquat called the Miwa, which is right now our kind of our favorite, but there are a lot of different ones that we really like a lot. And what I brought with me were some other citrus. I brought a Kishu mandarin orange.
Is that this one here?
That's the one that has leaves on it.
Oh, the little guys.
The little one, but really, really good.
Mandarin orange. Mandarin
yep.
orange.
Yep, Kishu, Kishu. And that's a... go ahead and eat it if you want, Glenn.
Well, we'll do that off the air.
Okay.
I'm going to be smacking around.
Yeah. All right. Okay. there's a Satsuma. That's what this one is. That's a different one. This is the Satsuma.
Uh-huh. That looks like more of something like you'd buy.
Yeah. And then another, here's another mandarin, a bigger one, which is a Kumawase.
Uh-huh.
From Japan.
That's about the size of a golf ball.
Yeah. And wase in Japanese is early, so it ripens early. And then this one is a Palestine sweet lime, which the grandkids really loved eating because it's lemon flavor, but not tart.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to sample that one too, maybe.
Yep, that's really, really good.
All right.
So anyway, citrus is a fun plant to grow, and you can get decent crops and have winter fruit with it. And one of the couple of the important things about it is when over the years we've discovered a lot of people like they. You know, they see this green, it's an evergreen, so it's in your house. It's a pretty addition to your house. But you got to be careful about watering. Don't water too much because it's not growing actively and it doesn't need a lot of water. So maybe every couple of weeks is plenty for it. A deep watering every couple of weeks is enough to keep it very happy.
Okay. Well, that's our plants
of
the month.
Yeah.
It's time. We finally got to it.
Yep.
Okay, before we take our musical break, let's slip in a phone call. Good morning. You're with the Dirtbag.
Hi, this is Victoria. I'm the person who sent you the information about the seed swap and the pruning demo.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you could clear up our...
You failed to tell people that it's St. Bede's in Forest Grove at 1609 Elm Street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and it's not Beede's, it's St.
Bede. Okay.
Church.
Yeah, we need more information.
We have had that every year for the last 10 years, so people pretty much know locally. But we've had people as far as Washington State coming over to check out our seed swap.
All right. Now, if you don't have any seeds, are you still invited?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we thought so.
Yeah, we worked with the Rotary Club who got donations from all the grocery stores around who donated all their leftover seeds. And we helped seed sort them, and then we sent them out to schools and other places, and then also had some for our seed swap.
All righty.
Well,
thank you for the additional information and the corrections.
7116. If, you know, people who have those fancy phones can find it.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Thank
you, Victor.
I wish I could come, Victoria. Unfortunately or unfortunately, on Sunday, I'm going to Italy.
Yeah, you might find some seeds there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could bring them in.
Oh, yeah. Some you can bring in, but that's not typically what we do. We're normally going to go there and talk to people. We have a new – we're going to go look at a collection of olives and talk with some researchers about how to grow olives in a colder environment.
Well, 16 in the Liberal Nook this morning.
That's chilly.
That's a colder environment.
But I've been pruning olives the last few days, actually, and they're – you know, with the ones we have some interesting varieties that look fine. They're doing great.
All righty. Okay, let's move on to our first musical break. Our theme this month is somehow all of these tunes are related to the month of February. Nothing too topical except that it's February. But you'll agree that I stretched a little bit. For example, this first song that we're going to hear is called Nevermore. Neverland, that's it. And the only way that this is related to the month of February is because it's by Guitar Shorty, and February is our shortest month. So is that a stretch?
Say when you're back. You never call me a doctor, no man. You'll have first a heart attack. You man in a man. I'll never, never land. You never said you was married. 3 times before. Ooh. You never said that was boyfriends. Score. I never planned. Never, never land. You're that good star. So many hours of candles and flowers. You took you in your love. But this place you've taken me,
is not what I was thinking of.
Guitar Shorty, Neverland. Well, we hear or we read a lot about disease-resistant plants and look for those. Not all plants are, of course. And sometimes we'll hear that plants just naturally don't have many pests, which might be different than disease-resistant. So what do you think, Jim?
Well, of course, there's pests and there's disease. And so, I'd say disease resistance is for our climate is probably one of the most important things, certainly in choosing a fruit variety to grow here, because there are a lot of fruit varieties that don't like our wet springs, mm-hmm. and wet winters. And so it's extremely important. And then, of course, you know, pest resistance it probably has something to do with how something tastes to some bug.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you know, if you've got something that just gets devoured by aphids or something, well, maybe, you know, that might not be a well-adapted variety for here, if you've got, you know, for which aphids are pretty common. So
yeah, I was thinking that, you know, as far as fruit, we'll just stick with that for right now. You know, well, and we've talked about native fruits, but the fruits that we're trying to grow here don't have a long history here. So that's part of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And thankfully, there some of the breeding work that's been done, not so much for commercial growers, but for home gardeners in other parts of the country, some of that work has transferred to us. Scab resistance, for example, in apples, was some of that work was done in New York, and scab is a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
So a scab-resistant variety of apple is pretty valuable for a Northwest gardener, and that's something that we work with at Northwoods Nursery a lot, and also with pears, too. It's very important. But then, for example, peach leaf curl, which is a really bad disease for peaches and can kill your tree, people that grow peaches commercially either grow them in a climate where that's not a problem, or they grow them where they spray them a lot, because it's a fairly easy disease to control with spray, a lot of spray, which most of the people I know don't really enjoy spraying and don't want to do it. So peach leaf curl resistance is something we've also been doing a lot of work with, and there are some good varieties now that are resistant to
it. What is it that becomes resistant? I mean, I'm assuming that you plant lots of sorts, and you see the ones that maybe don't get it as much or at all.
That's right.
And so what is it that what has changed in the leaves in those ones that are? Do you have any idea?
Well, I know the process is, of course, people have discovered over the years, mostly by growing seedlings of something, that one may have some genetic difference than the others and may not be so susceptible to a certain disease.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see that genetic resistance, then what you do is you pollinate that tree with more, maybe more ones that have maybe the flavor better flavor, mm-hmm. or some other characteristic you like, and just keep planting seeds. And it's a long process. I mean,
right.
I can testify to because what happens is you might plant out several hundred seedlings, and until they start bearing, you know, it takes 3 or 4 years, and they get some decent size to them. And if you're lucky, you might get one or two that have what you're looking for or close to it. You have the rest, the several hundred other ones have to be removed.
Well, is there a second tier that you're thinking, well, maybe we should grow that one out and see if that gives us something, a better size or better flavor?
Yeah, sure. If you have another characteristic and the plant survives, in some cases, you know, with peach leaf curl on peaches, for example, the ones that are susceptible to it severely susceptible will probably die in the second or third year. But if you have a really nice peach and some peach leaf curl, you might want to try breeding out, crossing that with one that's more resistant even, to see if you can get that nice peach plus have the resistance, a higher degree of resistance.
And so when we say resistant, we don't mean never get it.
Typically, it doesn't mean disease-free. But the resistance is, depending upon the strength of the resistance, can be pretty strong. I mean, and like I'm thinking of an apple right now, wine crisp apple, which we grow at our place, it does not get scab that I've seen at all.
Uh-huh.
And
both on the apples and the leaves.
Right. It's very, very resistant.
So it's similar to saying if you get a COVID vaccination, it doesn't necessarily prevent you from getting COVID, but it'll certainly be a milder case and probably prevent you from being hospitalized.
Yep.
At least that's what we used to hear from the CDC, but we don't know what we're going to hear now.
We don't want to get into that, Glenn.
Let's go back to the fruits.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So at any rate, I think that, as I mentioned to you earlier, most of the fruit breeding has gone on for regions that are not the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a unique climate west of the Cascade Mountains. And I'm really proud of the work my partner Lorraine is doing. She's really been really working hard at doing the crossing of different so we can have hybrids, you know, seedlings of different fruits that we can grow out and test for disease resistance. And I think, you know, we're contributing something to that selection, those selections available to Northwest gardeners from doing it.
And there's disease-resistant roses and, you know, other things beyond fruit.
Absolutely.
And so the same thing has been going on.
Yep.
I don't even really think about spraying anymore. I'm just, I don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, it either makes it or it doesn't, and I make do, so.
Yeah, pretty much the same for us. I mean, we it's amazing. I mean, our refrigerator is full of fruit, and none of it's sprayed.
Yeah, good deal.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. We're at half past the hour. You know what that means.
I think it means.
You ready for our theme, Ty? He's going to get it.
I haven't heard this stumper either, so I'm going to.
Well, yeah. They got two of them. There we go. Okay, well, this also has to do with the month of February. You know whose birthday we're celebrating today?
I don't know.
Well, exactly. I mean, we don't celebrate it anymore because we lump them into President's Day.
Uh-huh.
But this is Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
Oh.
There's also another world-changing birth that happened not only on this day, but on the same year that Abraham Lincoln was born.
Hmm.
And so that's my kind of auxiliary garden stumper.
Wow. Okay.
I've just remembered this from a long time ago.
Wow.
Because I thought it was astounding that these two powerful figures, same day.
Same day, same year.
Yep. 1809. Whew, yeah. So if you know the answer to that, we're going to have a two-parter here. But we can give away two sharpenings. So if you know the answer to that, 503-231-8187. We're just looking for this person's name. Now, the second stumper, it's not related at all. This has more to do with seed starting. And we've talked about this in the past, so this might be a little gimme, but it's the main disease that we have to be concerned about when we're starting seeds, inside particularly. If you know the name of that disease, it's the same number, Jim. They call the same number. 503-231-8187. And the winners, or the first person with the correct answer for each of these, will get a garden hand tool sharpened.
And the, just to clarify, the disease question, is it, do you want the Latin name?
No.
No.
I don't know that.
Common name.
Yeah, common name.
Okay.
For seeds, starting, seedlings.
Yep.
Okay, well, let us move on then. Do we want to say anything more about dormant pruning versus summer pruning? I'll just mention it briefly. Oh, and then you wanted to mention something about kiwi, a little bit more on that. And, yes, but you know, for the most part, I think I haven't seen much growth on things at all. It's been pretty cold this month. It was pretty warm last month, but anyway, so dormant pruning, still fine to do that. We remember from last month, probably want to postpone or delay pruning till maybe March. Some of the prunus plants, peaches, nectarines, plums, anything else?
Yeah, almonds.
Almonds, okay. So because of the possibility of disease getting into the cuts, so that's why we're delaying it a little bit.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. Because for one thing, rain is not, you don't want to prune with like, you, if it's dry, I mean, this kind of weather we're having right now, where, but it was supposed to end tomorrow. If you have a forecast of like 3 or 4 days of dry, cold weather,
okay,
that's okay.
We had those 18 straight days in January of pruning. Would that would have been okay?
Probably so. Although with prunus, I just generally wait until March.
Okay. Okay.
Just so that, because then the plant's going to start growing and the cut will heal much more quickly.
So watch the forecast.
Yeah.
Give yourself a minimum of 3 days.
Yeah, dry weather for 3 days. Go ahead.
Doesn't matter necessarily if it's lower than freezing.
Temperature is not an issue.
Temperature's not an issue. Jim said it here first.
Wait for those calls to come in now.
I said, wait a minute, I said that back in 1977. Okay. And then, while you can prune other things now, you can also prune in the summer. And that's my modus operandi for pears and apples, but maybe just those. And so you don't want to wait. You want to prune it now, but then you'll prune it again in the summer. You don't want to go 18 months, just 6 months. And then you can get on the summer pruning schedule. And I find that is easier for me, even though you're pruning with flower, with foliage on, and you might knock some fruit off. It probably needs it anyway, thinning. It's just easier for me, and the plant doesn't grow as much. When you prune now, it kind of spurs new growth, and my trees are the size that I want them, so I go in this summer.
So I'm not as familiar with summer pruning. I would think you'd want to do it fairly late in the summer, not
typically between mid-July and mid-August.
Mm-hmm. Because if you did it too early, then you could force new growth to come out.
Yeah. Right. I don't generally finish mine until mid-September later, but I haven't noticed any detriment as far as the health of the tree.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, well, just definitely this weather we've been having, I mean, it's, you know, it can change quickly. And I think there's a 50-degree forecast for Saturday or something like that. So it could get warm and things can start growing pretty fast.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention kiwis because my sense is, and a listener could call and tell me that we're wrong, but my sense is, and because I haven't looked at our plants that carefully, but this cold weather, there's no growth. And it's chilly, and once it starts to get warm, they'll start growing, and kiwis in particular will do a lot of sap flow when they start to grow. And I personally don't like to prune them when they're flowing, a lot of moisture is coming out of the cuts and stuff. I like to prune them when they're fully dormant. And I probably have mentioned this numerous times, but having grown kiwis for a number of years, when you have this, the typical fuzzy kiwi or the hardy kiwi are pretty vigorous plants, and they can send out shoots that can be 8 feet, 10 feet long or more. And I recommend pruning those back pretty severely, cut off 2/3 of that new growth. Mm-hmm. And then you'll get nice shoots that come out and have flowers and bear fruit for the next year.
And it's similar, although a little bit different for grapes, and but we're taking off the rule of thumb there is
much
so
more.
Go wild, 90%, yeah. 90% of last year's growth.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Ty, well, let's dial in our second tune, and this is by Stevie Guitar Miller. Actually, it's not by him. It's a song by Earl Washington and other composers. Washington also being born in the month of Feb. Hey, you know who else has a birthday in Feb?
Not the person you're at.
Nope. Me.
Really?
Yes. Yep. Yep. End of the month. Okay. The Steve Miller Band covering Earl Washington and other composers. Just a little bit. Just a teeny bit of your love. Valentine's Day is coming up here, and how is that important to the state of Oregon?
It's its birthday.
Yes!
And it's also my grandmother's birthday. Her name was Nora Valentine Dana. She was born on Valentine's Day.
What year?
Oh, gosh, good question. I don't know.
The 1800s?
1888 or something like that. And also, I should have mentioned my granddaughter, Hazel, who just turned 5, her birthday's in February, too.
Yeah. Packs a punch.
Yeah.
All right, Stevie Guitar Miller there. Just a little bit by, among other composers, Earl Washington. Okay, let's get it on here and see if we can define local.
Mm.
And why we would even choose to go local. This reminds me of a story that for quite a few years I bought most of my vegetable seeds from Fedco, which is a kind of a cooperative growers operation, organic growers operation in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
But the lettuce seeds, many of the lettuce seeds that they've sold there were from Frank Morton. And he grew his lettuce seeds near Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I was buying from a non-local seed store, the seeds were local somewhat. But, if it's near Eugene, that's 100 miles away. Is that local enough? Well, that's what we're here to discuss. And I would argue that it is, because it's absolutely the same climate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's an interesting story. And this, the story of local fruit sources, it could probably take more time than we have today, but back in the early 80s, late 70s, there were several nurseries that sprung up, including Northwoods Nursery, the one I founded, and my friend Sam Benowitz and Rain Tree Nursery and Michael Dolan and Burnt Ridge Nursery and a couple of others, we focused on local varieties that would be that would grow well in our climate. And I think that was, I mean, it was, and a lot of stuff happened since then in the process of just discovering varieties and introducing ones and so forth. But that was, it was sort of slightly revolutionary, I think, at the time, that instead of going to places like, you know, the Midwest or the East Coast to buy your fruit trees, you could buy them from somebody who's actually grown them here and had experience and knew what they would do here. And I think that, you know, one of my concerns these days, because I was just in Costco the other day and I'm seeing they're selling fruit trees there, but the varieties that they were selling were not ones that I would typically want to grow here and find so helpful. And like some of the other chain stores and so forth, they bring them in from big nurseries in California.
The same trees go to every store.
Yep,
or maybe there's some variability, but.
So I really recommend, you know, like One Green World is a sponsor of our show, and I said Burnt Ridge Nursery in Washington and Rain Tree Nursery. Those in particular are three places that take pride in what they offer that is adapted for our climate and does well here.
We'll get back to this. I do want to get our caller in or callers in, so let's go there now, and we'll come back to this local bit. Hi there.
Hello there.
Welcome to the Dirtbag.
Thank you.
You got an answer or a question for us?
Well, I have maybe I don't have the answer.
Okay.
Okay. I inherited, when I bought the property, an orchard and a bunch of fruit trees, and including all of that, I have a kiwi fruit that last year I picked 307 pounds off of it. But it is out of control. When I bought it, it was out of control, and I've been desperately trying to get it back under control. But it's still producing lots of fruit. But I'm not familiar with kiwi. I'm from the Midwest. All my fruit trees have been from the Midwest, and kiwi was not one of them.
How many times have you heard you're not in Kansas anymore?
Yeah, I know.
Too many.
Yeah.
Too many times. So I was just wondering if there was someone out there that was living in the Gorge area, which is where I'm at, that had more knowledge of how to deal with a kiwi fruit tree, or vine, rather. I've got both the male and a female, and I grow both the traditional ones that you'll see in the store, but as you all know, if you grow them, they have a creative side to them also. And they sometimes come out looking like a whole lot of different shapes and figures than the ones you see in the store. So, I hope you know what I'm talking about.
So you're looking for somebody who could give you, come and visit your place and help you prune the plant?
If that's what it takes, yes, I would. Yeah, someone that's got the knowledge of what to do and then how to keep it that way. There is no arbor as such to support everything. I'm built on the side of a hill, so the plants are up against the concrete divider between the steps going down the hill. And so the fence at the top of that concrete divider is where the kiwi fruit's supposed to go, but it's not. It goes wherever it feels like, as you know.
Yeah, you got to get ruthless.
Yeah, you know, I would say if you're getting 300 pounds of fruit, I mean, you're doing darn well. I mean, that's great. That's a lot of fruit. And
it is, yes, you know, I agree.
You know, I mean, I don't know if somebody in particular who could do that. I mean, maybe some listener somebody listening to the show would be interested in doing it. It has some experience with kiwi or know of somebody. Without seeing your vine, it's a little hard to imagine, you know, what else you could do to it. But the basic principle, like I mentioned earlier, with those long shoots that grow out, the basic principle with those is to cut them back, and that then as compared to grapes, you don't, like a grape, if you cut it back, it'll send out a shoot, and that shoot will have the new growth, will have the flowers. In the case of a kiwi, you have to have It's the wood that grows off of last year's wood is where you get the flowers. So you can't cut
right.
the thing all the way back to the trunk. You have to leave some buds from last year.
That's very similar to grapes.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I heard like cutting back to three or four existing buds. That's where you want to stop.
I would go more like eight, personally. But
really?
It depends on how far apart they are. But yeah. Somewhere in that range, 8 to 10.
But if yours is really, you know, just too big or where you don't want it, you know, I might advocate for just kind of start over.
Well, that's kind of where I kind of feel like I should, because there's an awful lot of dead wood intermingled with the live stuff.
Yeah.
And try to follow the live stuff from whether it's a male or a female gets to be a little bit difficult, but we've waited. We've been trying to propagate a male and a female and get some other shoots going, and we've waited till both of them were flowering so we could tell the difference.
Now, and why do you want to do that?
Because
300 pounds of fruit isn't enough.
Well, no, to share with my neighbors.
Oh, okay.
My neighbors.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Now, we're a sharing community. We get together every Sunday for a potluck, and... Now we share garden space. We share whatever we have. And
yeah.
They're envious of what I have, and they'd like to get some of their own.
Yeah. Okay.
I have no problem with that.
What I would advise doing, just if you've got some time to do it, just try to go in and remove the dead wood. That would be a first step, just to kind of clean it up. You know.
Or if you have five shoots, you know, cut them back to one.
Okay. Well, that's what we've been doing now. In fact, the weather changed. Stopped us from going down into the kiwi.
Yeah,
we got everything else pruned, but that was the last effort.
It's a kiwi plant. You're not going to kill it.
Yeah.
You know, don't let it intimidate you, or don't accept because it was there that you know you want to put a trellis in. So it's easier to deal with these things rather than having it supposedly going along a cement wall, if I'm picturing this correctly.
Yeah, a cement wall and then down to the next layer across the fence.
Oh, I see. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Where,
do you have a battery-operated chainsaw?
Yeah.
Because that's – I'd use it.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you're cutting, of course, but...
Well, not the cement wall, Jim.
Obviously not the cement wall, of course, Glenn. But, you know, you can go online, and California has some information about pruning kiwi. You can download some, you know, and you can there are publications about pruning, too. It depends on whether you want to, like, if you're getting that much yield... Again, I think the first thing I would do would just be to go in there and kind of clean up the dead wood, and just see what it looks like, you know, after that, and then cut back those long vigorous shoots, just so you can kind of keep the plant a little more compact than totally wild.
Yeah,
I see the drawings in the books. You know, the guy is standing there picking fruit overhead, and for me to pick it overhead, I have to crawl on my hands and knees.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Well, keep us informed on what.
I will.
What you end up doing.
By the way, where in the gorge are you?
I'm in the very center of the gorge, the geographical center. It's 20 miles in either direction, and on the Washington side.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
A little town called Cook.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't know it, but great. Well, good luck with that. And it sounds like you've I'm sure you're happy with all that fruit.
Yeah, and the neighbors.
Well, I am. And the people I share it with are equally happy.
Right.
I share it with the food bank in White Salmon. My neighbors, whenever I go to the grocery store, not the grocery store, I don't do it, but to the bank or to the doctor's office, I bring stuff for them.
Yeah.
So, no, I do my best to distribute it to as many people as I can.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, great.
Good success.
And my neighbors, of course, you know. But when it's 300 and something, that's usually more than they can consume anyway,
right.
So it's easily shared.
Well, thanks for calling.
I more joy out of sharing than selling it. So.
Okay. I appreciate your call. Okay, we have another call. Matthew's with the Dirtbag. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Hi. I am a licensed landscape construction professional and was just willing to offer consult services to that caller. And also for you, Glenn, there was a note that from a month or two ago, you were looking for the turn of phrase, I think, two wrongs don't make a right, but three lefts do.
Well, it was like... that's a good one, and I'm very impressed that you remembered that. It was like that two, because I read it later, and then why couldn't have I remembered that? But it was like two rights don't make a. Anyway, the guy responds by saying, "Yeah, right. You know, those are two positives." But they're really equal a negative. When somebody says something, you say, yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you got it.
Words can be
well,
fun.
Thanks for your good work.
Yeah.
I would be glad to leave my number for you guys. For
yeah. Right? Why don't you send me an email or the dirtbag at kboo.org. And then if the listener, I think he's already hung up, from
Perfect.
Cook, he can write to me, and then I can put you in touch.
Well, thanks for all your work, guys. I love your show.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
It's funny about words. Because of my poor eyesight, I can't see very well to my right side. So when I'm walking with somebody, I tell them left is right and right is wrong.
Uh-huh.
Grandkids
that's the idea.
Got a kick out of that one.
Okay, are we on the phone here, Ty? No phones. Okay. Well, let's see here. Do we want to? Yeah, we better get on here with, we talked about local. Okay, let's quickly go into same soil. That's the notes that I gave myself. We used to say dig a $50 hole for a $5, well, it probably wasn't $50, but it was like a $20 hole for a $5 plant. Meaning, yeah, just toss in everything there, good stuff, compost, fertilizer, whatnot, you know, and so mix that into the mix that you're going to add back to the plant. Well, the thinking has changed about 180 degrees on that. And so now I would say, you know, dig a free hole for a $50 plant. And that's really what it is, because that's a good visual to remember, is that the same stuff that you take out, you're going to put it back in. Now, you might leave out, you know, big rocks.
Right.
Do you agree with that? Yeah. But just quickly, if you're putting back everything and the kitchen sink in there, it's pretty good for that hole. But the roots then don't want to leave that hole.
Yep.
And they'll curl around.
I talked about this quite a bit when I was running One Green World. And, you know, the idea is, put the soil back, the same soil back in the hole, and do any fertilizing on the surface. The rain will take it down to the roots.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and now is, you know, bare root time, but it can be appropriate for potted plants too. Okay, you got a quick documentary update, Jim?
Well, first we were going to talk about the dictionary term.
Oh, please do. Because we don't want to forget that anymore.
Yeah, no, we got to next month.
Okay, we got.
Yeah. So real quickly, so chilling hours was the dictionary we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting thing to me, because the main thing about chilling hours is there are a number of fruiting plants, most fruiting plants like apples and pears and cherries and peaches and plums and so forth, require a certain amount of chilling before they will start growing again and bear fruit. And that chilling has been figured out over many, many years, and typically, depending upon the variety, it can be somewhere between 600 to 1,000 hours. Well, so what is a chilling hour?
Yeah, that's the key.
So the chilling hour are temperatures between 32 and 45 degrees. Lower than 32 does not count. And
neither does
above 45 doesn't count. So if you're in Los Angeles and you're trying to grow an apple tree in Los Angeles, you might have some problem because you're not going to get very much chilling
hours. You might get 200.
Yeah, and so there are varieties that have been chosen over the years that will do it in that kind of climate, but the ones we grow here typically won't. On the other hand, if your temperatures are largely, if you live in Siberia and your temperatures are below 32, you have another problem. You don't have a problem so much as we have a problem, because if we try to grow a Siberian plant, like, for example, Arctic Beauty Kiwi, the number of chilling hours that plant requires to go through its dormancy is quite small. So it will go dormant in the fall, and then once that chilling hours are satisfied, like in January, it'll start growing again, because it's as soon as it gets a taste of warm weather.
It's that trigger.
Right. Gets going.
Okay, Jim, sorry to cut you off, but we're out of time.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. We will have we don't have any answers to the stumpers yet, so you can email, and the first email will get a garden sharpening. We got somebody on the line? Okay. We got 10 seconds. Go for it. What's your answer?
Is it Frederick Douglass is born on the same day as Abraham Lincoln?
That's not the correct answer.
Okay.
But thanks.
I just met the guy in the gorge with the kiwi at a song circle here a couple months ago.
Oh.
I've got hardy kiwi out here in the gorge for the last 40 years that I brought out from the city. So I'll get a hold of him the next time I'm at a song circle and help him out.
Sounds good.
Great.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for being here.
Okay, you
bet.
Thank you. Okay, Ty, we'll just go out with our last tune here. It's Bob James, and it's Take Me to the Mardi Gras. Jim, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Glenn.
Ty, appreciate you coming in, helping us out. This is Glenn Andreessen. We'll be back in 4 weeks.
To KBOO, Portland. Coming up next is Jazz Lives, right after these news headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM.